morning, traders. Thank you for joining us on this WTV special on putting your mind over the market. I'm Jared Levy, Chief Options Strategist here on Wise Trade TV, and using psychology in today's market is not an easy thing to master. It takes a lot of discipline and skill to become a consistent and successful trader. Here to talk to you about what you need to do in order to put your mind over the market is Mark Douglas. Mark has been a successful trader since the 80s and has written two books on trading psychology, both Trading in the Zone and The Disciplined Trader. You've heard me talk about them many times here on WTV, and he is here today to help you become successful traders. Mark, good morning. How's it going?
Good morning, Jared. Glad to be here, and I hope I can be of assistance to some of your traders who are viewing right now.
Mark, you know, last time we were together was at Wise Fest, and had a lot of fun. I'm really excited you're here with me today.
Thanks.
So, well, let's get started. First of all, you know, one of the main issues that I see all the time is that people don't use their method to its full potential. In other words, there's a negative correlation between where what the trader ends up with and what he could have had if he just followed his methodology.
Right.
In your DVD program, you refer to this as the profit gap. This is a problem. You refer to it as the profit gap. And I think it's one of the least understood concepts of trading. Can you address this a little bit, this profit gap?
Yeah, that's actually a really good place to start, because I think that more than anything, what your viewers want or what your customers want are consistent results. They want to be able to produce an income that, you know, that they can rely on from their trading. And I'm sure that you know, many of your viewers have already realized that that's getting a steady income is not such an easy task.
Yeah, and everyone seems to get trapped thinking that because trading is easy.
Right.
Or because it's easy to find yourself in a winning trade,
exactly.
Which many people do.
Right.
You know, that they think it's also easy to become a consistent winner.
Right.
And you know, it took a long time before it actually dawned on me that winning and being a consistent winner are two completely different animals, two different things. And in some ways, there isn't even a relationship between the two.
It almost seems like there's no relationship between the two.
Yeah.
That's what you're saying, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a real hard mental barrier to break through. Mainly because, you know, it's so easy to find yourself in a winning trade, because winning actually requires no skill at all. In other words, unless you consider that, you know, the being able to click a mouse button or, you know, tap a pad is a skill.
Right.
And we don't have to have a reason or good reason or even actually any reason to put your cursor on the buy or sell button and then immediately find ourselves in a winning trade. And it could be a monster of a winning trade. And what did it take? What kind of skills did it take to actually experience this? Absolutely none.
Yeah. So it'd be natural to take the leap from, well, if it's this easy to win, it can't be that much harder to make a steady income. Like you said, it's that easy to click the mouse for me to sit there and make $5,000 or $10,000, then it must be pretty darn easy for me to sit there and make
right.
a living out of this. You know, and that's what I thought for a long time, but that is not the case.
No, and that's exactly how I started out too. And I know, not unlike a lot of other people who are willing to, let's say, give up a real high-paying career to be a trader because they thought it couldn't be that hard.
So what makes consistency so challenging? What's the big hurdle there?
Well, we're gonna get into that, but at the most general level, I'm gonna say that it requires learning the type of skills that people just simply aren't used to learning.
Mental skills.
Yeah, exactly. In other words, it requires mental skills. Most people assume that because their technical method gives them a signal to get into a trade, that if the method produces a high percentage of winners, it will equate to a consistent income, not taking into consideration that the proper execution of those signals requires mental skills.
Give us an example of this.
Well, take for an example, you know, a high school basketball player who, you know, he'll go in the gym and practice throwing his free throws, maybe for even 2 or 3 hours a day. It wouldn't be unusual for him to be able to hit 50 in a row, would it? I mean,
yeah.
is that
you
not
see that all the
out
time.
Of the realm of reality,
yeah.
Right? Okay, so the problem is that could he even hit 2 in a row if the circumstances were he was in the final game of the NCAA championship, his team is down 1 point, there's only a few seconds left on the clock, and he was just fouled.
Changes everything.
Yeah, under those circumstances, without the appropriate mental skills, hitting either one of those free throws is very unlikely. And regardless of how well someone could do it in practice, most people would choke.
So really the skills you're referring to, what you're talking about, Mark, is actually staying focused on the process, staying positively focused on the process itself, in this case, of throwing the ball, in our case, obviously, of trading or following your method,
right.
And not being worried about blowing it, about the consequences of what could happen if this trade goes wrong.
Exactly right. Just like what I'm going through right now.
<You're>
trying
on
to
TV.
Stay focused. Yeah, trying to stay focused on the process of this presentation and not blowing it.
Well, you're doing fantastic.
Anyway, you know, with training, we may have a technical method telling us what to do and giving us the potential to generate consistent results. But like the basketball player, without developing the appropriate mental skills, it's unlikely we'll be able to do what our method or training plan is indicating without making a number of potential execution errors. In other words, to stay positively focused on the process of trading by doing exactly what we need to do, when we need to do it, without hesitation, reservation, or fear.
Okay. That's interesting.
So you see, no matter how good a technical method is at generating winning trades, turning those winners into a consistent income requires the ability to do or not do some things that the method itself can't help us with. For example, our method can't force us to predefine the risk of getting into a trade. Or if we do predefine the risk, our method can't force us to take the loss that ends up turning into a bigger loss.
Right.
And you know, that's happened to everybody. Okay, our method can't prevent us from moving a stop closer to our entry point where we get stopped out and the market trades back in our favor. Our method can't prevent us from hesitating and getting in too late. Or our method can't stop us from jumping the gun and getting in too soon where the signal to actually get in never really develops. And our method can't stop us from getting out of a winning trade too soon and leave money on the table. Nor can it prevent us from letting a winning trade turn into a losing trade without having taken any profit.
I know that all of our traders have experienced these issues. I know they have, and I think really what you're saying is that the methodology, and this methodology, folks, what we're talking about, we say the word methodology is the Wise Trade software, that's our method. And it can give us winning trades. We've seen, I know all of you have had winning trades, but it cannot give us consistent results if we're susceptible to making the kind of mental errors that you're talking about
right
here. Okay?
Exactly right. Yeah, that's exactly what I'm saying. And all the mental errors I just listed are the result of thinking, believing, or assuming that our technical method is telling us what's going to happen next on a trade-by-trade basis, and not understanding that technical methods aren't designed to do that.
Right.
Technical methods and patterns are designed to put the odds of success in our favor over a series of trades. It may not seem like it on the surface, but there's some profound psychological implications here. What this means is the outcome of the signals generated by any technical method on a trade-by-trade basis are unique and random. In other words, there's no way to know in advance what the outcome to any particular signal will be or what the sequence of wins or losses will be over a series of trades.
It's a mouthful. And I understand what you're saying. I think, you know, we need to, first of all, know that many of our viewers out there are experiencing the same sort of thing, okay? And they're probably going to have some trouble grasping this concept that by accepting the randomness of these outcomes, they can produce consistent results. That's an odd concept.
Yeah, that's exactly what I'm saying, Jared. I know it's somewhat of a paradox to think that events that have a random outcome can produce a consistent result, but think about it. This is the principle that's been used by casinos for hundreds of years.
Right.
Technical methods and patterns will give the individual trader the same kind of advantage the casino has over the individual player. If the trader can think about it from the proper perspective. On the other hand, if a trader who has generated his signal from a technical method hasn't learned to integrate this principle, this randomness principle, into his trading regimen, he'll undoubtedly find that trading can be one of the most frustrating, if not exasperating, endeavors he's ever chosen to undertake.
You know, and I know there are a lot of viewers out there who may be experiencing frustration. In fact, I know there are definitely viewers who are experiencing frustration, but I'm not sure if they're making the connection that the reason because, you know, they don't believe in this randomness principle where you can generate consistent returns by looking at the outcomes of their trades as random and unique.
Right.
They have to be able to view that as random and unique. You know, that's, I think, the big issue.
No, I know, and that's why we're here explaining it right now. You see, the frustration comes from expecting, from our expectations. It's from expecting something from our technical method it just can't do. Technical methods define and identify patterns in collective human behavior.
Right.
Now, the patterns definitely exist. They repeat themselves over and over again. The problem is the outcomes don't always correspond with the patterns on a trade-by-trade basis. So what I'm saying is that, yes, we have patterns, yes, and they repeat themselves over and over, and our minds just naturally think, well, I have a pattern that's consistent, I should have an outcome that's consistent with the pattern, right. and that's not what I'm saying at all. What I'm saying is that there doesn't have to be a relationship between the outcome and the pattern.
Right. So, and if the last trade was a winner, right. This trade, even if the charts are the same,
right.
Even if we've got the same exact signal, the same looking chart, there's no guarantee that this trade is going to be the exact same as the past one.
Exactly. In other words, this trade, the trade I'm in right now, could turn out to be a winner. And does that mean that the next trade is going to be a winner? Absolutely not. This trade I'm in right now could end up being a loser. And does that mean that the next trade is going to be a loser? No, absolutely not.
Yeah. This is interesting. I mean, I'm trying to... For us up here, you know, the goal, the main goal is obviously to take these concepts and reduce them down to the most simple of terms. So, you know, let's again back up here for a second. There are traders out there using WiseTrade every single day. They're getting the same exact patterns, okay? But what you're saying is, even though the specific criteria is being used to identify the pattern, okay. For each signal, same criteria, same formula, same everything.
Right. The chart outcomes, pattern can look exactly the same. Everything.
Right. The outcomes to each signal have no relationship to one another.
That's right. That's exactly what I'm saying. That there's a random distribution between wins and losses over any sequence of trades that you might look at. And so, you know, and again, this is a very difficult concept to grasp, but it's really the traders who have grasped it, let's say, and learn how to think in what I call probabilities. Okay. They're the ones that don't experience the same kind of, you know, the same kind of emotional trauma that the typical trader does, because they're expecting something that just may not happen. So, for an example, if this trade's a winner based on this particular trade I'm in right now, based on the exact same criteria, right. That, you know, or let's say I'm in a trade right now, or I'm getting into a trade right now, and the exact same criteria exists in the market that did the last time, I'm going to naturally expect it to be a winner if it was a winner the last time. Or I probably will naturally expect it to be a loser if it was a loser maybe the last time, or we had two or three losers in a row.
And this could be a source of frustration for traders.
Oh, absolutely. In other words, that's exactly what happens. It is a source of frustration, because if I'm expecting it to be a winner and it turns out to be a loser, I'm going to be frustrated. Not only going to be frustrated, I'm going to be disappointed, and I may even feel betrayed, depending on how much kind of energy that I put into the idea that the trade is going to be right.
Well, how do we get over that? I mean, how does a trader take, you know, okay, so I've got all the things right. I've got my charts lined up. I've done everything I was supposed to do. How does the trader at least begin to accept these sorts of things, or you know, how do they begin to remedy these issues?
Well, we kind of have to get into the nuts and bolts of this, of just exactly how the markets work, because I think that one of the big problems, one of the reasons why people have such a difficult time with this, is because their initial exposure to the markets themselves is through electronics.
Right.
In other words, there's through electronics, there's a real disconnect between what you're actually participating in and what's causing, you know, you to want to participate in the first place. In other words, you know, markets started as exchanges,
right.
And there were and so when you trade, you traded at an exchange, so you know that all prices are people generated events.
Correct.
They are, and see, this is what people have to take into consideration. Everything happens because of what people believe. When you look at the nature of trading and break it down to its simplest components, what you have is everyone trying to do the same thing. There is no possible way that any of us can make money as traders unless we can buy low and sell high, or sell high and buy low.
Correct.
Is there any other way, Jared?
No.
No other way. In every market. So basically, everyone's trying to do the same thing, are they not?
Yes.
Everyone is doing the same things. Now, the reason why we have price movement is because everyone has a different idea about what is high and what is low. Okay?
Right.
So now I get exposed to a technical method. Now, what does this technical method do? And this is the relationship that people need to grasp. If they grasp this relationship, then they can grasp this idea that you can take the same set of criteria and end up with random results. And it's this. It's like what people realized years ago is that you can take data points. In other words, data points meaning what you're doing is you're translating the human human behavior, the human belief in if I'm going to buy
into something visual.
What's that? No, it doesn't have to be visual, but it's like it could be. Yeah, it started out being visual. It started out being chart patterns based on bar charts. But what you do is that if I'm going to if I'm going to buy, it's because at right now, let's say the last price is 10, and I put in an order to buy something at 10, okay? It's because I believe that the market's going to go to 11, correct, or it's going to go to 12. Right. Certainly if I thought or I believed it was going to go to 9, I would wait, would I not?
Correct.
So the reason why I'm buying at 10 is because that's what I believe. In other words, you know, all price movement is based on people's belief about what's going to happen in the future.
Now you said to me in a conversation we had yesterday, obviously we as individual traders are not large enough in our accounts to move the market.
Exactly. And okay, so this is the next connection that people have to make, is that since all price movement is based on people's conviction or belief about the future, how do prices actually move? For an example, when you put in an order or I put in an order, I don't trade at a level where I can actually move prices. But what the typical screen-based trader doesn't understand is that there are traders, there are thousands of traders out there who do move prices, mm-hmm, and that it is their intention to move prices. Or you can have a large group of traders coming into the market and then cause prices to move. But what actually has to happen for prices to move is this, is that if the last price of something is 10, for the market to actually move to 11, all the offers have to be taken out, meaning that, or move to 12, all the offers at 11 have to be taken out. So in other words, people who are trying to sell at 11, they have to get their orders filled before it can get to 12. Okay. Well, for someone to actually bid it to 11 or bid it to 12, they are doing the exact opposite. And this is really critical. They are doing the exact opposite in that moment of what it takes to be successful. Okay. They're not buying low, they're buying high. They're buying high relative to the last price. And or buying higher relative to the last price.
So how does understanding this concept, how does understanding what moves the markets help our traders to take it to the next level? Is this the first step for them getting control and understanding how the markets work and getting grasp?
Yeah, they definitely have to understand. They have to understand how prices move, because when they understand how prices move, then they'll understand how their technical method relates to this movement. Because what technical methods do, whether it's a visual pattern or moving averages or a wise trade or whatever, you're using mathematical formulas. Okay, you're taking data points. In other words, you're taking what people believe about the future, transforming them or transposing them into a data point. Okay. As a price over time,
right.
Okay, or with volume. Right. There's any
or a
number.
Fresh cross.
Yeah, there's any number. That's what it ends up being, is a fresh cross. But I'm talking about the actual mathematical formula that makes the fresh cross.
Okay.
So there are any number of variables that go into this equation. Now, what people have found is that, what people have found is that using these data points into certain types of mathematical equations, you can find patterns in collective human behavior. And what these patterns mean is this, is that when this set of criteria, okay, is present in the market, okay, that there is simply a higher probability than not. In other words, there's a higher probability, or what I'm going to call an edge, a higher probability of one thing happening over another, that other people are actually going to come into the market and bid it higher from here or offer it lower from here. In other words, when the pattern is present, this collective pattern is present, it will repeat itself. But the problem is that it repeats itself on a random basis, because even though the actual mathematical criteria is exactly correct,
it's
or
not
exactly the same.
You can't, that doesn't, mathematical models can't predict human beings.
That's right. Mathematical models can't predict who the actual individuals who are going to come into the market and actually do it.
Right.
In other words, it takes someone to do it. When you put on a trade, if you're not going to make your trade a winner by bidding the market, if you bought something by bidding the market, you know,
using all of your money
to, if you bought something at 10, you could actually wipe out all the offers and bid it to 11 or bid it to 12 or bid it to 13. Now, the price is at 13. All the trades that you put on at 10 are winners, right?
Yeah, but I still bought it at 11 and 12.
Yeah, but you're averaging up. But the point is, all the trades that you put on were winners. You actually made yourself a winner.
That's correct.
But what I'm saying is that when you don't trade at that level, we are actually obliged to other traders to come in to buy something at a worse price than what we thought was low to make us winners.
So what you're saying is most of us out there are dependent upon someone else to move the market for us. We're trying to identify that pattern, obviously, using the Wise Trade software.
Right.
To find those common entries. But again, it's a random event. We're putting the edge in our favor.
Yeah. Jared, when you put on a trade, do you know who... Now, what we've done, we've reduced the market down to these terms, okay? Mm-hmm. That it takes someone else to make us a winner, right?
Correct.
Okay. When you put on a trade, do you think about who that might be? Who might come into the market to actually make you a winner?
No, of course not.
Yeah, no. And if it turns out to be a winning trade, do you know who those traders were or who that trader was that actually made you a winner?
No.
Is there any way to know?
No.
There might be, but it'd be pretty hard to find out, right? I mean, you could go to the clearing firm, you know, the firm that clears the, or the you know
the bottom line is you
bottom clear. Line. Yeah, exactly. So what I'm saying is that when the pattern presents itself, like okay, I have an edge here. When the pattern presents itself, we don't have any idea of who is actually going to come into the market to do this for us. And so there's no point in analyzing. There's no point in judging. There's no point in trying to figure out whether it's going to work or not. It would be like, for an example, if I said to you, Jared, I'm going to give you a coin, and this coin is weighted in a way where it's going to come up heads 70% of the time. Right. Now, just because I know mathematically and statistically that this pattern of coming up heads 70% of the time exists, is there still any way for me to know the actual sequence to heads to tails?
Of course not. It's an infinite.
Well, no, do I know the sequence? In other words, I'm going to flip the coin 100 times, and statistically it's going to come up heads 70% of the times. I still don't know which
times
flips
are going to come up heads.
Flips are going to come up heads. They say which flips. It's not the times. Right. Which ones? In other words, we flip the coin once, it comes up heads. Flip the coin twice, it comes up heads. The next one's tails. The next one's tails. The next one's tails. In other words, we could have streaks of heads or tails. Okay, yeah. we could have streaks in there. The point that I'm making is that there is no way to know the actual sequence.
But at the end of the day, we know we have 70%.
So what that does, that obligates us, if we want to be able to trade our methodology in an effective fashion, to be able to utilize this methodology in a way where we can extract the maximum amount of profit that it makes available to us based on the pattern that it identifies, we have to do it in certain ways. In other words, our mind has to be free to be able to execute these trades without making trading errors. And the trading errors come from believing that because the pattern is present, that it's going to give me a winning trade on this one. This trade is going to be a winner.
You can't think that way.
No, you can't think that
you
way.
You can't think that
That's
way.
The way the typical trader thinks.
Right.
The typical trader thinks, I'm not going to put this trade on unless I think it's going to be a winner. Or why would I do it? And it skews our expectations. See, it messes our expectations
up. Let's back up a couple seconds here. There's some great stuff here, Mark, and I hope our traders are getting all of this. You're basically saying, and this makes a whole lot of sense to me, and I hope it's getting through to you guys, we have a tool that gives us an edge, whatever it is. Right. Even if that edge is 2% or 3%, I don't know if we can.
No, it's one more than it's more than that.
Maybe more than that.
What do you mean more than that? It's a lot more than that. It's far more than 50%.
Well, I was saying greater than 50.
Okay.
I was using edge defined as
so
maybe 55 or 56% of the time.
Right.
Let's just say.
And the thing is, it doesn't even have to be 50% to actually make consistent money. That's what people can realize too. That depending on what the ratio is between what you have to risk to find out if a trade is going to work and how much profit it generates when it does, you don't even need a 50% win loss ratio.
Right.
As a matter of fact, back in the 80s, there are, one of the most famous traders from the 80s, Richard Dennis, on a percentage basis, 95% of his trades were losers. 95%. But the 5% that were winners were monsters. And he was able to put on trades at a 95% loss ratio and make, at one point, around 1987 or 1988,
now,
he had $400 million.
Is that using his edge? Or his money management, or a combination of both?
Of all of it.
Okay.
And see, one of the things he did too, and this is something I ought to really qualify with, he would use orders to actually probe the market. See, there's one of the things I don't want to leave what we're doing right now, but I'm going to just kind of divert just for a moment,
okay. And
so that people understand that one of the first things to be a successful trader that you have to learn, of the fact of finding a good edge, meaning something that puts a pattern, a collective pattern that your edge identifies, that puts the odds in your favor,
right.
That there's a higher probability of one thing happening over another once this pattern is present in the market, is that you have to learn how to think in probabilities. In other words, you have to get your expectations, aligned with the way the market actually exists.
Right.
And when you do, in other words, when you learn these kind of mental skills and you're able to execute your trades without fear and without hesitation, without analyzing, or even without thinking for that matter, because you don't need to think. I'll give you an example. A professional trader, What a professional trader thinks about when there's an edge present is, does he think about whether the edge is going to work? Absolutely not. Because he knows, he has learned, there's no point.
Right.
There's no point in analyzing or judging or building a case for or against whether that trade is going to work. Because he understands the human component, okay?
Right.
But what he does think about is he thinks about the risk. How much do I have to risk? How far am I going to let the market go against this position to tell me that other traders are either going to come into the market and make me a winner or not? And he also has a plan for how he's going to take profits.
Right.
But the typical trader, what does a typical trader do?
They don't have a plan. Or they think about the trade too much. They think about, is this going to be a winner? Is this going to be
a
loser for me?
The exact opposite of the professional.
So what the professional does is basically...
And then once they make up their mind that it's a winning trade, they don't predefine the risk, do they?
Right.
And they also don't have a plan to take profits because they think when
they think it's going to be a winner.
It's going to go on.
And I want to talk about that. We're running up on the break here, but I want to talk about that on the other side. But what you're saying is the bottom line is the professional sees the entry. He sees the pattern, whatever it is, the edge, enters in, not thinking if I'm going to win or I'm going to lose, but has a money management strategy in place, knows exactly how much he wants to win or is willing to win, and how much he's willing to lose or risk.
Right.
Exactly. Now, does he put a cap on the upside? Does he put a cap on his win side?
It's not a matter of a cap. It's a matter of how, his assessment of how much potential there is.
Okay.
In other words, the problem is on a winning trade, we're obligated in a sense to make these never-ending decisions as to what the risk-to-reward ratio is. In other words, as the market's going in my favor, what's the risk of finding out that it's going to go further? And that's why so many professional traders or people who teach trading advocate scaling out of positions.
Right. Mark, this is all great stuff. We're going to have to wind it up. We've got to go to a break. Guys, it's already time. As I said, for a break, we'll be back with much more with Mark Douglas here in 3 minutes. We'll see you soon here on WTV. Welcome back to the WTV special on putting your mind over the market. I'm Jared Levy. Mark Douglas has been talking about psychology in today's market. Mark, let's continue with our conversation we left off with. We were talking when we left about the flip of a coin. And you said that you had a coin that was actually weighted on one side. You gave an example how a coin was weighted on one side, and over a series of flips, that coin had a 70% chance of, in this case, landing on heads.
Right.
Whereas in our software, we give you the edge, and maybe with our software, you have a better chance of being right or having a winning trade if you get in on a certain pattern.
Right.
You also talked about how...
It's the word right that's really critical here, okay?
Right.
It's the word right. In other words, what people need to understand is how does believing in a random result affect your expectations? Because see, what we don't want is we don't want to get into trading with the possibility of being disappointed or the possibility of being dissatisfied or being even betrayed, because a lot of traders feel that way. They really feel betrayed. And the problem is that when that potential exists, it has the effect of affecting the way that we see market information in detrimental ways. Because, in other words, all of us have these mental pain avoidance mechanisms that affect our perception of information.
Right.
So, for an example, if I'm in a losing trade and I got into this trade thinking I was going to be right, okay? In other words, I did all my evaluation, I did all my analysis, I did my work, I built a case.
Right.
It's like as the market's moving against me, I'm going to have the tendency to focus on information that tells me that I'm right and ignore the information that tells me that the market is actually trending against me.
Okay.
In other words, I can identify a trend, but I won't be able to identify that trend if I'm putting an inordinate amount of significance on the information that's telling me that I'm right, as opposed to ignoring the information that's telling me that I'm wrong. And overall, if we want to be consistent, the principle that we need to keep in mind is that to be consistent, we have to cut our losses and let our profits run. We have to make more on our winning trades than what we lose on our losing trades. And the problem is that if I'm susceptible to being disappointed or betrayed, meaning I get into a trade, expecting it to do what I think it's going to do, that I'm going to have this tendency to distort market information that causes me to hang on to my losers. And in a winning trade, what will happen is that instead of letting a winner run, markets don't go straight up. In other words, if I'm in a long trade,
right,
I would like the market to go straight up, but they don't. They go up and they come back and they come, and it's the retracements we focus on instead of the fact that the market's still trending in our favor.
So what you're saying right now basically is I found a stock, for instance, that I love. The stock just had a great news story. The charts are the same as the other stocks that I've traded, but just for some particular reason, I feel great about this stock.
Mm-hmm.
Don't know what it is, but maybe they had some great news out, and I feel that stock starts to go against me, you know what? Based on the news that's out there, based on the special feeling I have about this stock, I continue to hold my loser. I continue to hold my loser until this thing draws down against me and I'm in a major losing position. And I keep losing because I feel in my mind that I had some sort of special, this stock was special. Is that what you're referring to?
It could be anything.
Because I know traders do that.
Yeah, I know. It could be any variable kind of information that people latch onto.
Okay.
The thing that they have to understand is, regardless of the reason that they got into a trade, regardless of the reason, if other traders don't buy into that reason, or if other traders don't have another reason to want to buy at a price that's worse than yours. You bought the stock at 10. Right. Someone's got to want to buy it at 11. Someone's going to want to buy it at 12 and buy it at 13. And not only be able to buy it at 11, 12, and 13, and 14, they're going to have to take out all the offers, all the traders who think it's high. In other words, at 11, 12, and 13. And so if these people aren't coming into the market to do that, well, then whatever reason you thought you had might not be so good.
Right.
And so that's why it's so critical to predefine your risk before you even get into a trade. And that's why professional traders don't think about it any other way, because they know it takes other people. That you know, my reason might be great, but if someone else isn't buying into it, what difference does it make?
Matter.
It doesn't matter, because it's not a winning trade. And so, you know, and so if we have this susceptibility to be disappointed, it affects our perception of market information in a way that doesn't allow us to
so
cut our losses.
How do we make ourselves not susceptible? I mean, how can you
by
shut
changing
off?
Yes, by changing your perspective on this, by really understanding. For an example, Jared, you ever played a slot machine?
Yes.
Okay.
Now, I don't like it.
But
I played it.
Whatever reason you don't like it, doesn't matter, okay? That's good that you didn't like it, because it might make the example even better, okay? Okay? You play a slot machine. Mm-hmm. When you put your money in the machine, let's say it was a quarter machine, okay? Mm-hmm. You put your in the money in the machine, you press the button, and the pattern indicating that there's a payoff doesn't show up. How do you feel? Well, do you feel betrayed? You people betrayed by the machine?
No, not
okay.
at all.
And why do you not feel betrayed by the machine?
It's just a random.
It's a random outcome. Okay. So in other words, you went into it with the belief that you know that you're participating in an event with a random outcome.
Right.
And as a result, your expectations about the outcome were in perfect alignment with the event itself.
My expectation, believe it or not, was to lose. I know this sounds crazy, but when I put the quarter in, mm-hmm. I thought, you know what, I'm probably going to lose this quarter.
Yeah, exactly, okay? Because you know, the odds aren't exactly in your favor. And what trading systems can do is actually put the odds in your favor in a way where we own the machine, believe it or not. I mean, the whole role reverses if you learn to think about it correctly. In other words, if you understand that, you know, so for an example, well, let me backtrack a little bit and say that most traders, you know, if you compare trading to a slot machine, the difference would be that with a slot machine, we can't play until we've accepted the risk. In other words, we actually have to take our money out of our pocket and put it in the machine, or otherwise we can't play.
Right.
So that implies that we've accepted the risk, because the degree to which we have not accepted the risk, we wouldn't be able to put our money in
that
the machine.
That is our loss. The quarter is our loss.
That's the risk. No, that's not our loss. That's just the risk.
The risk.
That's just how much we're willing to invest to find out if it's going to work. Okay?
Okay.
And then what we do is we wait for a pattern to show up. And if the pattern's a jackpot, great. If it's not, then we might be willing to put another quarter in the machine to find out if it is. The difference with trading, and this is where people's mental idea of what this is all about gets messed up. The difference with trading is that the pattern shows up in the market.
First.
The pattern shows up first, okay? Then what we have to do is put up our money, meaning how much am I willing to risk to find out if it's going to work? But most traders, because they evaluate, because they judge, and because they analyze, they think that and build a case for the pattern being right, they actually talk themselves out of believing that the risk even exists. They might give lip service to the idea of putting a stop in the market, like some of those errors that I said in the beginning.
Right.
How many people put stops in the market and take them out, and then let what would have been a small losing trade go into a big losing trade? That's lip service. You see, okay, I've been told over and over again I got to put stops in the market, so I'm going to do it. But they haven't really accepted the risk.
Right. We see every day.
Yeah, they haven't really truly accepted the risk, because they don't want to be wrong. And what they have to understand is that this is not a right or wrong game. This has nothing to do. Trading a technical methodology or a technical pattern does not have anything to do with being right or wrong. It's just an odds game. That's all it is. In other words, you get an edge that says I've got the odds in my favor over a series of trades, but you've got to be able to take every single trade because you don't know the sequence to wins and losses. You got to be able to identify what your risk is, and that's simply how much am I willing to spend to find out if other traders are going to come into this market and bid it higher than my price or offer it lower than my price if I sold. That's all it means. And then, of course, you have to have a money management plan for how to take consistent profits.
Right. Which is another problem I want to say.
Oh, yeah. But see, the thing is, it's like when you change your perspective, when you change how you think about this, okay, it's like I know there's a random outcome to these patterns. And so I know it's not right or wrong. And so what potential do I have to get disappointed? No more potential than what you had to get disappointed by putting a quarter in a slot machine and it didn't come up with a jackpot.
Right.
You see, this is the critical thing here, Jared. You got to be able to change the way you think. What's the title of this program? Mind over markets. Okay. You got to be able to change the way you think.
And how does a trader do? I mean, what are the steps? I mean, you know, is there obviously by reading your books, by getting themselves immersed in your thinking, is certainly a way to do that. Is there anything from this point forward a trader can begin to do, or thoughts that traders can, you know, try to add to the repertoire to begin to think like a professional trader, have that carefree state of mind, and start to change the way that they view the markets and their risk? Is there an exercise they
yeah,
can
there's well, yeah, absolutely. I mean, there's an exercise in trading in the zone, exercises in how to think like a professional trader. And basically all it really takes, Jared, is simply a sincere willingness to do it. Honest to God. It's just like anything else in our lives. When we realize that there's a particular goal that we have, and there's a strong desire to achieve that goal, then we're gonna take whatever steps we need to achieve it. Whether those steps are trading in the zone or how to think like a professional trader or some other methodology that people are more comfortable with or whatever, the point is that if someone really, you know, really sets their mind, any of us, when we really set our mind at getting something, we'll get there. We will get there. But the difference is, like we started out in the beginning of the program, the difference with this is that what we have to set our mind at is how to change our mind. Hmm. Okay? And that's why there's so many people who are so close to getting it but never really get beyond that threshold.
What's that hurdle? Why can't?
Because people don't want to change the way they think. It's that simple. People don't like changing.
How can people get to the carefree state of mind that you talk about?
By changing the way that they think. they've got to eliminate the potential to think that the market's going to disappoint them. They've got to eliminate the potential to think that the market's going to disappoint them. And the way they eliminate that potential is by understanding that trading is not about being right or wrong. It's a probability game.
Right.
If you're trading technically. Now, I don't want to confuse people, but I got to say something else. Is that traders do evolve.
You got an hour and a half, by the way. Keep going.
We do? Oh, okay. Yeah. You got that long, honest to God.
Go ahead.
Oh, my. No, is that there are stages of development. In other words, and I think I started to talk about this in the last segment, is that there are stages of development. That we start out learning these fundamental skills, like learning how to think in probabilities so that the market doesn't have this potential to cause us to feel emotional pain.
Right. We did everything we could. We had our edge. It didn't work out.
That's right.
Move on.
And that's all that it is. When you put on a trade and it doesn't work, all it really means is that some other traders didn't come into the market that had the same belief that you had or the same conviction that you had about this market doing whatever it is that you thought it was going to do. That's all it is. It's nothing more than that.
And you have to learn to walk away.
And you have to learn to walk away. I mean, let's put it this way. How good do you think the average person is at predicting other people's behavior? In someone else's behavior. People aren't that good at predicting other people's behavior. Especially. Or even their own behavior, for that matter, okay?
Exactly.
They find themselves doing things that, what am I doing this for, you know? And so how good are they going to be at predicting collective human behavior? Now, the methodologies that we have access to, these mathematical formulas, do that for us.
Right.
But you have to understand that there's no possible way that these mathematical formulas can predict the outcome of these patterns on a trade-by-trade basis, only on a series of trades. In other words, what they're really saying is that I have the odds. So when I get a signal, when I get a signal from my methodology, at the very fundamental, most fundamental level, what this is telling me,
right,
is that
fresh cross.
Is that fresh cross? I have. There's a higher prob. There's a high, or let's say, the odds are in my favor. The odds are in my favor that somebody is going to come into the market. This is what the pattern means.
Correct.
The odds are in my favor that somebody is going to come into the market and bid it higher from here if I bought, or offer it lower from here if I sold. That's all it's saying. Now they're either going to come or they're not. And so, as a result, I don't look at this as being a right or wrong. I look at this as how much distance am I going to give the market to move away from my entry point to tell me that they're either going to come or they're not, and any further is not worth the money of finding out. It's not worth the cost of finding out. That's all it means.
Do you talk about stop losses? You talk about stop losses and management in your DVD.
Yeah, absolutely, but not like
very
specific. Not the kind of specifics that, you know, like if you're in a half an hour time frame, you know, how much
the trader's decision.
Yeah.
But the trader, dependent upon their trade style, is going to adjust their stops according to their account size, according to their
exactly.
risk tolerance, etc.
Right.
What you do, I think, is give people an understanding and a basis of where they should be placing their risk, or how much, not from a dollar perspective, but maybe from a
in other words, you know, so that they can, yes, from a mental perspective, so that they can adjust their trading style in a way that conforms to where they're at in terms of their ability to take the risk.
Would one exercise be for a trader to begin testing out their loss? In other words, take a $100 loss, see how you feel. If you were able to take a $100 loss and walk away and not fret too much about it, not let it stress out the rest of your trading day and not think about it, maybe then you could say, okay, I'm willing to trade a more volatile stock and move to something like a $200 or $300 loss, etc. Is that an exercise you think would be beneficial?
Oh, absolutely.
For the trader?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, and that's what I suggest to people, you know, all the time. Especially, you know, I was doing coaching. It's like, and when I was doing coaching on an active basis, I mean, I was coaching some pretty substantial money managers, and you know, they'd get into a situation where they're on a pretty good losing streak, and often it required that they actually go back to a risk level that, you know, they hadn't, meaning that if they were trading, you know, 10,000 or 100,000 shares, or willing to take, you know, $500,000 or $1 million hit on a trade, you know, to get back to where they felt more in sync with the market, that they may have had to go back to only trading 1,000 shares. And see, and when you're working in a corporate situation like that, you know, with other traders, that's often a hard thing to do, but that's exactly what they needed to do. I suggest to people that I mean, look at it this way. Paper trading. Okay, a lot of people who teach trading say that, you know, there's no point in someone paper trading, because there's oftentimes a huge difference between the results they'll experience paper trading and what they'll experience when their real money's on the line. Yeah, because there's no real money on the line. In other words, I'm sure there are probably a substantial number of viewers out there who can make consistent money. Following their methodology, paper trading, and then they start doing real trading, and everything changes. Okay, well, and so a lot of teachers have said, well, there's no point in paper trading because, you know, there's no correlation between the results. Well, that's not really true, because what paper trading can do for people is very very beneficial. One, it's a graphic demonstration of the gap that exists in terms of mental skills that they need to acquire. In other words, it's a good way to get familiarize yourself with your trading platform. It's a good way to really get confident with your methodology. But more so, it is a graphic representation of the mental skills that you don't have.
That's an interesting concept.
Yeah. So in other words, how does someone convince themselves that they need those mental skills?
Look at your paper trading.
Look at your paper trading in relationship to your real trading. Mm-hmm. Now, if there's, and a lot of this, even if people have learned to think in probabilities, which is what we've been talking about pretty much this whole time, even if people learn to think in probabilities, it doesn't mean that they can really still accept the loss.
Right.
Because the way our minds think, in other words, if I have to take a loss on this trade, right, it could have the tendency to tap me into all the accumulative kind of negative pain of every time I've had to take a loss in my life. And it just doesn't mean in trading. It could mean, you know, pets or what, you know, people and that sort of thing, or jobs. And so, because our minds have this tendency to associate, it can make it difficult to accept the loss. So a lot of times what people would have to do, and they also would find difficult to do, because a lot of times people get into trading because they want to impress their friends or their family, like, I'm a trader. Right. But that what they might have to do is that when they graduate from paper trading, they might just, you know, the amount of risk tolerance they have might only be just 10 shares and risking a buck on those 10 shares. And you think, well, what's the point of that? Well, the point of that is that, you know, when you can trade those 10 shares flawlessly based on whatever your methodology says, right, and do it without any fear or,
because you were able to make those trades in the paper. I mean, you made
right.
those trades
and
in the paper.
Then you can go to 20 shares and yeah. see how that feels. Then you go to 30 and gradually work your way up. And people aren't willing to gradually work their way up.
This is a concept that we've never even talked about. I've never actually heard it put this way, Mark. I have to be honest with you, where you look at your paper trading account as kind of almost your goal, if you will, almost like, this is where I could be if I was trading
yes.
from a carefree state
absolutely.
Of mind.
Absolutely. It's perfect. This is where I could be if I had that carefree state of mind, if I had the mental skills that allowed me to do exactly what I need to do without reservation, without hesitation, without fear. That's the way that we can, and that's, you know, and that's basically what we're getting at. How do we use the methodology that we have and the capability and the potential of that methodology to its maximum? You need the mental skills to do it.
You made reference before, both at Wise Fest and earlier, we talked about some events of pain, mm-hmm. pain in your life. And a lot of our traders right now feeling some pain with what's been happening in the markets the past couple of weeks. Mark, is there, does a person have to experience this, a total drawdown in their account, a total loss in their account, where their account's almost wiped out or is totally wiped out, for them to make that change in their mind? I mean, does that have to happen? Does it have to be traumatic like that for them to realize, oh, I've got to change something? I'm saying this, and obviously it can be done without that, but have you found that predominantly out there, you know, in the people you've taught over the years, have people had to experience a high level of trauma before they can actually make the change? Or can someone just in the normal course of every day with a little bit of dedication actually, and I'm not trying to be rhetorical here. I really want a serious answer, because there's people out there right now that I'm sure are thinking the same thing. Do I have to lose my whole account? Does this have to happen for me to make a
change? You're in pain right now, are you, Jared?
What's that? Yeah. I'm good. I've been out of the market a week.
I'm just kidding. Yeah, well, you mean like the gutter principle?
Yeah.
Is that what you're referring to?
Explain the gutter principle.
The gutter principle, in other words, how much in the gutter do you have to be before you're willing to say, I'll do anything? Mm-hmm. As a matter of fact, this kind of brings something up, is that when I was actively coaching, my coaching clientele basically fell into two broad categories. One was with traders who were already successful, who were already consistent, and what they wanted were they wanted fine tuning. Okay, they wanted creative ways of fine tuning themselves so that they could actually increase the amount of money that they make over a year or whatever. And then you had the other group was they're literally in the emotional gutter, okay? They're so exasperated. They're so frustrated because of the potential that it's so obvious what the potential is. And yet there seems to be these invisible barriers that keep them from getting into that potential. That they come to me saying, I'll do anything. And that's, you know, now everyone has different tolerances of pain before they get to the point where they say, I'll do anything and mean it and be sincere
and mean it. Well,
and mean it. That's the whole thing. They got to mean it.
Mark, we're wrapping up the show. We have a couple more minutes now. There was a couple points I know you wanted to make before we end up this show. And guys, just so you know, next show we're going to open up to phone calls and emails. So if you want to start lining up your emails or your phone calls, do that now. Mark, a couple more minutes to go. In this arena, I mean, is there anything, any message you can give to our traders, that, or any final thoughts, maybe a mantra, something?
No, just basically, just to kind of, you know, sum up what we've been talking about, that if, you know, if consistent results are your objective, you know, then you're going to have to learn how to think like a professional trader, because that's what they do. They make consistent results. That's why they're pros. That's why people give them their money to manage. That's why they have jobs that where they actually trade for a living, because if they didn't make consistent results, they wouldn't keep their jobs. And so to do that, you have to learn to change the way you think about trading in a way where it doesn't cause you to have this potential to think that you're going to be disappointed or betrayed or put you into a state of emotional pain. Mm-hmm. It's like getting to that carefree state of mind. And once you get to that, once you shift your perspective, everything changes. It's not about being right or wrong. And you know, when you really understand that, and then you go through the process of learning how to accept the risk of losing, then everything about your trading will change.
So when the patterns present themselves, you trade them.
You don't think about it. There's nothing to think about. It's like, don't think. There's nothing to think about.
And you trade within your means.
Except the risk and how you're going to take profits. But I'm saying the pattern itself, when the pattern presents itself, there's absolutely nothing to think about.
That is
because
the objective
there's no way
part about trading.
You can know. Yes, there's no way you can know what the outcome is going to be.
Mark, we do have another hour, like I said, okay. so we've got plenty more time to go. One last thing I wanted to ask you real quick. We've used this word edge
yes.
a couple of times.
Right.
A lot of our traders are not familiar with this word edge. I've used it on the floor. Edge to us was basically having a spread in there. In other words, if we had an option that was worth $1, the ability to buy it for 90 cents or sell it for $1.10.
Mm-hmm.
How do you define edge as a closing thought?
It's just simply an edge is just a higher probability of one thing happening over another. That's all. Just a higher probability of one thing happening over another. But keep in mind that within the context of what we've been talking about, it's a higher probability happening over another over a series of trades. A series, okay? So in other words, you know, like for example, what I do is I teach people to trade in sample sizes.
Right.
So that instead of saying to themselves, I'm going to take the next trade, I'm going to take the next 20 trades.
Right. I'm going to keep myself in the game.
I'm going to keep myself in the game and see what happens over the next 20 trades. And then if I get the kind of results that I like, I'll take another 20. If I don't, I'll tweak my methodology so that I get better results.
Mark, it's been great. We'll see you back in a couple minutes. Guys, okay. It is time for a break. We want you to get your questions in for Mark. You can give us a call at 1-866-WTV-WISE. That's 1-866-988-9493. Or you can send us an email to trader@wisetradetv.com. When we come back, we will answer your questions and talk more about psychology in today's markets. We'll see you back here in 5 minutes.
This is kind of a long, drawn-out introduction to the fact that what we're talking about here is that you guys have a really wonderful trading methodology where there is an enormous amount of potential for you to be able to make a consistent income from being able to take full advantage of the potential that this trading methodology offers you. But I would say that there's probably, it wouldn't be unfair for me to say that there's probably what I'm going to call the profit gap. The gap between the potential and your bottom line results. This is the potential and this is your bottom line results. Most people think that when they realize that this gap exists, that somehow learning more about the markets is what's going to fill it. And what you're here today to learn is that that is categorically not the case. You have to learn more about yourself and how you interact with your trading platform and the market to be able to fill this gap. There are psychological skills involved.